In Atlanta, poverty is moving out of the city and into the suburbs. A recent study from Harvard finds the number of high-poverty neighborhoods in the metro area has tripled since 2000. That year, we had about 100 high-poverty suburbs. By 2015, more than 300. With me to discuss this is Kim Addy, Senior Director of Health for United Way of Atlanta. Hi there, Kim.
Hi. Good morning.
And also with us is Michael Rich, a professor in the Department of Political Science at Emory University. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Good morning.
Michael, what is considered a high-poverty neighborhood? How do we make that distinction?
Well, typically, people define a high-poverty neighborhood as a census tract with 30% or more of the population living below the poverty line. But some people use other thresholds. Some people might use 20%. Some might use 40. But typically, it's 30% or higher.
And Kim, why is suburban poverty more complicated than urban poverty, at least in terms of addressing it?
Sure. What we're finding in the suburbs is that there is, in terms of resources, availability of resources, our suburbs are not consistently structured to be able to address the issues that families have in the speed that we see that the urban cities have been able to address. Typically, when we know about poverty in cities, cities are structured to address that. So availability of health services, education services, our federal safety net programs are much more available. In our suburban area, they are much more diffuse, so they're not simply created or put in one specific place where families can access them easily.
Michael, I assume that's because urban centers have a history. I mean, the poverty in urban centers is so longstanding that in many cases, especially political arenas, urban has become sort of an unspoken synonym for poor. So is that what's causing what Kim is talking about, this lack of resources, the fact that this is relatively new?
Well, it's two things. I think one, it's, you're right, traditionally we've thought of the poverty problem as an urban problem, meaning largely an inner city problem, and therefore a variety of public programs, federal in particular, have focused resources to urban communities, to central cities, which in turn have built up the infrastructure over the years to put in place a variety of anti-poverty programs. But it's also been demographic, largely up until the 1980s and into the 1990s. Poverty was predominantly concentrated in central cities. But with the last census, the 2010 census, we see for the first time that there are more Americans in poverty living in the suburbs than in the central cities. The poor have always been in suburbia. We're really only now becoming aware of how concentrated that problem is in terms of the rapid growth. Poverty has been increasing much faster in the suburbs than in the cities, though overall rates are still higher in the cities.
Kim, what do you attribute this to? Are there newer people that were not in poverty, say, pre-Great Recession, who now are? Or are people moving? What's causing the change?
Well, there is a shift that's happening. In the city, there, in terms of the cost to be able to live and rent, those prices are going up. And so it's causing our families not to be able to afford to live in those areas. And so our families are being redistributed in terms of a lack of a better word, into the suburbs because of that. Just affordability, also policy changes. So housing vouchers, the cost really doesn't allow our families to have access to affordable housing. So the inventory of housing that's available, that's affordable, has decreased in our cities. And so our families are looking for stable housing. And so you'll find them moving into the suburbs.
And that complicates things further, Michael. If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Kim Addy, you just heard, Senior Director of Health for United Way of Atlanta, and Emory Professor Michael Rich. Michael, one reason that causes further problems is because when people have to move further out of the urban center, Metro Atlanta is what is commonly referred to as a transit desert, is it not?
Absolutely. And that's a huge problem, particularly when we look at the distribution of the poor population in metro Atlanta suburbs. Well, certainly there are large numbers in Clayton and DeKalb counties, which are in tight and have access to MARTA. But you get beyond that, certainly outside the perimeter, access to transit is much weaker and much less available. And so if you're on the edge, you don't have a functioning car, you're often out of luck in terms of your mobility to get to a job.
And Kim, this is not just a Metro Atlanta problem. Across the country, we see this shift of poor moving from, not just moving from the urban areas into the suburbs, but also people in the suburbs who were not poor, say 10 or 15 years ago, dropping below the poverty line. So if it's true that we just don't have the concentration of resources in the suburbs, what needs to happen to fix that?
Yeah, that has to be larger concentrations of partnerships that happen and that cut across regions. So United Way is an example, partners across county and border lines to be able to identify gaps that are happening in terms of services and working much more strategically, even when you think about funding, just really understanding the needs of families that are happening and understanding how our poor families are very transient, so understanding the underlying issues, but being very strategic about how dollars are redistributed across the region, and also understanding what the barriers are in terms of the systematic barriers of affordability of housing and inventory and things of that nature. So what we're doing is really trying to bridge that gap between services that are available and the families that need them.
Michael, is there political will to address these things? I mean, it would require that, first of all, on a not only a federal level, but on a state level, to understand that this change is happening before the kind of levers of power can begin to move. Is the political will there?
It is in some places. I think we can look back to the mid-2000s. There were about 20 states that actually adopted poverty reduction targets. And they weren't just states on the West Coast and the East Coast. There were a number of states in the South that had legislated poverty reduction targets, formed task forces to look at what kinds of actions could state governments take to promote greater opportunity and help families climb out of poverty. And then the recession hit, and a lot of those plans got stalled in terms of their movement towards implementation. But there's also a lot of control that states have over the federal safety net in terms of things like Medicaid expansion, enactment of a state earned income tax credit to add to the federal earned income tax credit. That's probably the single most important anti-poverty tool we have that helps working families with children rise out of poverty. Other things like healthcare assistance, Medicaid expansion, job training, and the like. So many of the states that are experiencing the most sharpest rise in suburban poverty are states that typically tend to have weaker safety nets.
This comment here from Elizabeth Kneebone, she's a fellow at the Brookings Institute, and she's talking about another wrinkle in the suburban poverty problem.
Poverty in these kinds of communities can be hidden. It can be harder to identify or even understand the extent to which need has grown because it may not be easily visible.
And so let's hear one other voice. Catherine Aravosis is a single mother in a suburb outside Chicago. Here she is speaking to PBS NewsHour.
It's those days when you get up and you really don't know what you're going to give your kids for dinner. And it can be a full-time job finding out how am I going to get glasses? Her prescription is a year old. And where am I going to, you know, how do I go and get her the shot she needs? She's going to sixth grade. Not having the health insurance, not having the basic things that people take for granted.
Kim, how difficult is it to identify poverty in the suburbs? And is there a problem with people actually coming forward to ask for help?
Yeah. United Way has developed what we're calling a child well-being index. And within that index, there are about 14 indicators out of the indicators, there's a composite score that is assigned to each community. So you have communities like Cobb County or Gwinnett County that has a score around 68% or 61%. What that tells us is that there are areas of high wealth, but there are also pockets of poverty. And so it is hard to identify because you have families that have moved and are transient, are staying in extended stay hotels. So it's hard to identify, but unless you're working with school systems, the homeless liaisons, to understand who those children are, because they get on the bus just like anybody else would get on the bus, but you don't necessarily know where they're coming from, right? And you don't understand sometimes the issues that family is necessarily facing. And so having strategic partnerships with school systems and nonprofit partners to identify those families is very essential to helping stabilize families.
We've been talking about suburban poverty in Atlanta, at least in metro Atlanta. The numbers show that many of the poor populations are moving out of the urban area and into the suburbs. Our guests today were Kim Addy, Senior Director of Health for United Way of Atlanta, and you also heard Michael Rich, Professor in the Department of Political Science at Emory University. Kim and Michael, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.